Liebe Play2Grow-Community, ich darf euch herzlich willkommen heißen zur 33. Episode. Und zwar haben wir heute eine Sonderedition. Wundert euch nicht, heute hört es nur meine Stimme. Der Richie wurde ebenfalls von der Sports Journey vom lieben Christos eingeladen, eine eigene Episode aufzunehmen. Und ich habe meine Episode schon kurz vor Weihnachten in Hamburg aufgenommen, live im Studio. Wie ihr sehen könnt jetzt in der 33. Episode ist es auch eine Video-Episode. Und noch dazu ist sie auch auf Englisch. Das heißt, wir haben ja auch immer wieder Anfragen gehabt, vor allem von unserem griechischen Publikum, dass sie sich freuen würden, wenn wir mal eine Episode auf Englisch machen. Dadurch, dass der Christos eben auch Grieche ist, lange in Österreich, aber auch in Deutschland als Fußballer aktiv war, mittlerweile aufgehört hat und jetzt eben den Sports Journey Podcast betreibt und der uns eben eingeladen hat, separat, haben wir jetzt gesagt, perfekt, das können wir dann ebenfalls in unser sozusagen Portfolio mit aufnehmen und deshalb kommt da jetzt eine Sonderedition, nicht wie gewohnt alle zwei Wochen, sondern die Sonderedition, die schieben wir jetzt mittendrin rein. Und dabei war ich Gast, der liebe Christos ist nach Hamburg gereist und wir haben dann die Episode in einem Podcast-Studio aufgenommen. Richtig cool geworden, eben mit Video und allem drum und dran, sehr, sehr professionell. Daher riesengroßes Dankeschön an die Sports Journey und für die Einladung. Hat riesengroßen Spaß gemacht und jetzt wünsche ich euch ganz viel Spaß mit der Episode. Wie gesagt, nicht wundern, sie ist auf Englisch und der Richie ist auch in dieser Woche zu Gast bei Sports Journey mit seinem separaten Podcast. Freue ich mich auch schon sehr drauf. Und die werden wir dann auch zwischen einschieben. Das heißt, unsere nächste Episode ist dann Episode 34. Da sind dann der Richie und ich wieder gemeinsam am Start. Und je nachdem, wie lange dann die Produktion dauert von der Sports Journey mit dem Richie seine Episode, kommt die dann einmal quasi im Wochenrhythmus wieder rein. Und ja, von dem her, in der Episode geht es ein bisschen um meine Karriere, hat ein paar spannende Fragen gestellt, geht es viel um Rapid und Barock, auch um die Anfangszeit in meiner Jugend. Also da ist wirklich von vielem, also vieles dabei, was interessant ist, ist eine knackige Stunde. Und von dem her wünsche ich euch jetzt viel Spaß und freuen uns natürlich wieder über euer Feedback auf unserem Play2Grow Community Kanal auf Instagram oder auf Spotify, Apple Podcast, wo auch immer. Bitte Freunde und Freundinnen liken und weiter supporten. Und ja, dann würde ich sagen, viel Spaß und let's go.
I always say before the games, I watch it to the mirror and I said, now you need to turn on your beast mode. They always say that Rapid is a family, but it's a huge family because it's a huge club. If you manage to do a great job in Rapid Vienna, you are able to go in any club in the world.
Let's talk about the PAOK and the emotion. It was a cultural shock or was it okay the first day in?
I don't know, the Greek way of life, they let their emotions more out. In Austria, in Germany, for many emotions, you get punished immediately.
How do you manage to get clarity?
If you have pressure from your family or of your friends because of your performance or whatever, even if they are family, you need to cut them off.
And the league title, how did it feel?
Yeah, it was like a reward, you know. You got something back for all the years that you suffered also.
Take me into that moment. You are taking the ball to shoot the penalty. What is in your mind?
It was almost midnight and you go to take a penalty in front of 50,000 people. As a player, I would say I would not change anything. The only thing that I could take another gift from God is...
Stefan, thank you for coming. It's a pleasure to have you here. How are you doing?
Thanks for the invitation. I'm always happy to be in a podcast and especially, I would say, with my second country, with a guy from my second country. So yeah, I'm happy to be here and everything is fine.
How is life now in Germany compared to Greece?
Different. There's a huge difference. I think everybody can understand the south and north, especially we are here in north of Germany. So the way of life is totally different. It's getting very early dark as well now in the winter times. The life changed a lot, but I'm here to play football. That's the first priority and the biggest target why I came here. And so it's really nice for me to experience now in my older years, in my older ages, in my last years of my career, to experience German football.
What do you miss the most from Greece? Not Trappe.
Yeah, no, I would say the easiness of life, the friendly people around that we had in Thessaloniki, everybody who knows PAOK very well understands what it means to play for PAOK in Thessaloniki for the people. And I was lucky in those 5 years that we had a lot of success. Mm-hmm. So I never had bad experience about fans or so on. And yeah, we miss our friends, our community, the days that we enjoyed in the late afternoons at the beach or in coffees or in restaurants was really a nice time. And as I said, because we were successful, so it was a great time.
You were also living in a great city.
Yeah, for sure. I think mostly the people from Germany or Austria, they don't understand how nice Thessaloniki really is because, okay, from outside, if you are just for 1-2 days there, there is not too many things to see first because you think like, okay, it's not a spectacular city, but it is a lot of historical places there. And the way of life is amazing. You know, the open-minded guys, the restaurants, the bars, the weather. It's really lovely to live there. I think it's even much better to live there compared to make some days of vacation there.
People know you as the leader who is calm under pressure, but who are you like when you step outside of the pitch?
Yeah, I think I have both sides. That's why I'm born in September. So everybody knows end of September is a scale. So I think that this shows really my way of life in off the pitch, but also on the pitch. So I have both sides, but mostly on the pitch. Yeah, you need to let your emotions out. You need to be patientful. Otherwise, you can't win anything if you don't have this mentality. So of course, when the referee whistles, you need to change and you need to go. I always say before the games, I watch it to the mirror and I said, now you need to turn on your beast mode. Mm-hmm. And so I try to play like a beast on the beach and to do my best on the beach.
And that's a very smart approach. And when the game is over, then you go home and you're the guy who has a family.
Especially when the emotions are gone, you take a shower after the game. And then from this time that you go out of the stadium, you should try to calm down again. Doesn't matter if you have won the game or if you lost the game because life continues the next day. The next day you wake up and yeah, it's in football, you know very well, it always counts the future. So what happened yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe it's just interesting anymore for the newspapers and for the people around. But as a team or as a player, you need to look in front and to have the preparation for the next game already. So that's why football and the circle is turning so fast. And so you don't have time a lot to think about the past. Which can be very positive, but also negative.
And probably if you think like yesterday, it was when you were starting your first steps in Saalefelden.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
This.
Yeah. This is also one place I would say next to Thessaloniki that I miss a lot. Mm-hmm. I left my hometown Saalefelden when I was 13 years old because I moved to Salzburg to the football academy. And my hometown city, it's a smaller city where winter sports is huge. We are a skiing town. We are down for winter sports in general. My neighbor is one of the, or maybe he is, yes, sure, the most successful biathlon guy in Austria. He is now 42 years old and still in the World Cup. And I know how he gonna train comparing to us football trainers. That's really insane because his effort is so big and he is training, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 hours per day. Wow. You cannot imagine. And so we grew up in the mountains in winter sports and I love winter sports. That's why I miss it a lot. And this is one of the big things after my career that I can do again to be in the winter at my home without any kind of stress or without any kind of schedule to prepare again for the preseason, which starts in 5 days. Mm-hmm. So I just can go to ski. I just can hang out with my friends in the snow, whatever. Yeah, we have this inside of us as Austrians, especially from the west side of Austria. Because the east side, the place around Vienna, it's not so big than in the west side. And so, yeah, I'm a mountain boy. And this is one thing that I'm going to really love again after my career.
Tell me about when you were younger, like when you were starting in the playing for the academy for Red Bull Salzburg. I saw that you played actually for every department, for every YAV, but you didn't make it to the first team. So now if you could sit across from that younger Stefan, what would you say to him?
No, I think in the end, I had a great time in the academy. It was the change between Austria Salzburg and Red Bull. When Red Bull take over in 2005, the team, I was 13 years old, 14 years old, and I was in the academy there. So Red Bull took over. So I had a really amazing facilities already and a lot of support from Red Bull. Also, they pushed us a lot. They gave us everything to grow as players, to have the best hospitalities and facilities to become a professional football player. So I had a great time and the second team there was in this time was playing already in second division. So it was tough already in with the age of 17, 18 to arrive to the second team. We don't discuss about the first team because in this time, the first team was different than we know Red Bull now from the last years because they had older players, they had experienced players. In my time was coach Giovanni Trapadone after Huub Stevens. So they didn't force a lot the academy players. So it was really, really hard to come up in the first team. I had one time, I think, Ko Adrianse was the coach from Holland, that I had few trainings with them. I had like half of the preseason I did with them. And the second team needed to go down to the third division. And then I decided to leave. I had contract, but I asked them to give me on loan again to the second division. What I can recommend to myself in the young ages, I would not change anything. I was alone there. I did my military because in Austria, it's obligated to be in the military as well. I did everything what was necessary to do and as a man in life. And then I became a professional after my time in the military. And I took the steps, let's say, out of the comfort zone of Red Bull. I moved to FC Lustenau and then to Admira, which are usually smaller teams with less budget, with less amazing facilities. And I did my own way. And so I'm proud that I took these steps out of the amazing Red Bull world and to grow really by my own. And that makes me proud in the end. And in my last 2 years, the only thing that I miss a little bit, or maybe I should experience longer, my first two professional coaches were amazing. My first one was Adi Hütter, who is really famous in Austria. He was the previous coach of Monaco. And the second one was Niko Kovac. So I had those two coaches already in my young ages. And I learned a lot from them, but it would be nice if I would have them longer because they are great coaches, both of them.
Could have learned much more than you mean.
Of course, yeah.
So these kind of years in Lustenau and Admira, they shaped your character. And when you finally came to Rapid, you were already a player who was ready for this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, Admira Wacker, we moved from the second division to the first division. So also this was a nice thing that I really came from second division with my team to the first division. So I took my first steps with the team that I promoted for the first division. And we had an amazing season. We finished third position in our first year. We played in Europa League qualification games with this team. Admira is a really historical club as well. And as the people in Austria know, Admira doesn't have a lot of fans in the stadiums in the game. But at our time, when we went up, the stadium was full. The first year in the Bundesliga, when we were fighting for the third, almost second position, the stadium was in the big games, it was full. So that was really an extraordinary time for Admira all the last years. I think they have never been so successful than in our time. And then, yeah, I was ready after 3 years to do my next step. I was already, I think, 23, 24 when I moved to Rapid Vienna. And yeah, I think when I signed this time for Admira, I had always the target to take the next step to Rapid Vienna, because for me, or for all in Austria, they know it's the most historical, biggest club with the biggest supporters, the most popular club. So for an Austrian player, it's the biggest thing if you can play for Rapid Vienna.
It's a highlight.
Of course, it's like you live in Vienna, in the amazing city. For me, it's one of the best cities in the world. You play for a really, really nice club with amazing supporters. You can fight for titles. Unfortunately, we didn't win. Also, Rapid didn't win titles in the last years. But you have the opportunity to do something there and to grow again. And yeah, finally, I stayed 6 years there. So I had an amazing time because I think also as a football player, it shows all the time that you're welcome somewhere and you enjoy it also when you stay somewhere for a longer time, not only for a short period.
Tell me about the pressure, because I had a previous coach from you, like Damir Kanadi. He was in one of my podcasts. And he told me like the pressure he felt being a coach, such a big club like Rapid, was a tremendous, like a big difference comparing to Altach.
Yeah.
How was the, like, you were experiencing every week playing for this club?
Yeah, there's a huge pressure from media, from fans, from the stakeholders in the club. They want to have success. They have a new stadium. There is many interests around the club. Many people have involvement in the club. For me, it was never a negative pressure. It was also positive because they always say that Rapid is a family. Yes, it's a family, but it's a huge family because it's a huge club. So there are so many people around that they try to influence, all, of course, in a positive way. But it's not always easy if you get so many impact from everywhere to handle all this pressure, to manage all this pressure. As I said, for my 6 years, for me, it was an amazing time. The only thing that we missed was a title. We passed two times the Europa League group stage. So to the round of 16 in Europa League, that's amazing. We played against teams like Inter Milan, Valencia and so on. We won three times. We went second position in the classification end of the year. We played two cup finals. It was a small detail that we missed to win the title. And to be honest, our biggest rival or opponent at this time, Red Bull, they were in another kind of level, what means performance, because they had amazing players at this time. And so if I look back in my mirror, I'm not sad because we had an opponent that was almost invincible. And we really tried to be competitive. And in the end, we were competitive with them. But in the end, we were not good enough to go for a title. Mm-hmm. But we had an amazing time.
Now, since you left, also that your last coach, I think, was Didi Kubawa in Rapid. Since you left, the club has gone through several changes. I saw they had a lot of coaches. Mm. Having played for Rapid now and followed the club's development over the years, why they don't come to this title?
Yeah, okay. As I said, the time when I would have been there was because of Red Bull Salzburg. Yes. That's the only reason. Because on the other hand, with Zoki Barisic, we played amazing football. We played really nice possession football. We scored many goals. We played really attractive. Many people, they gave us also nice props because they said we are playing so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Our opponent said also it's difficult to play against you. But as I said, Red Bull was from another world. Now, I think the possibility is even higher to win a title. What is a little bit sad is that we always said also if Red Bull has one time a period that they are weak, Rapid needs to be there. Yes. And over the last years, they couldn't be like close to Red Bull. And now Red Bull has a kind of weak period. Mm-hmm. And Rapid was not able to be this team like how was Sturm Graz now for the last 2 years. Yes. Yeah. And why now I'm a little bit too far. I have been 5 years in Greece. I'm here in Germany now. I don't have any more this kind of open views from the team, like the insiders, that I can understand what is really going on. But of course, this topic with consistency, with many changes around president, sport director, players, coaches, this doesn't help at all over the last years. And I really wish them that they find consistency and to be better and better again, because this club deserves a title, and also their fans, they deserve title and successful
absolutely
football.
And they always, the last 2 years at least, they start really well in the season. Yeah. And then somehow they lose this consistency, as you said.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult to say. What I miss right now is maybe that that you see a clear structure in the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, a clear structure that you have really leaders on the pitch that they show that they are Rapid. And then you have, of course, the foreign players and so on that they help to be individual in a higher quality. But I think Rapid is a working club.
Yes.
And they need also these guys that they are from Austria, that they are hard workers. I think this is the best fit for Rapid. And I hope that they're going to find over the next years the right mix of players. And I think right now they are not perfect at all with the mix between their players.
Which is hard, because even though they sold two of the best players in summer and they had a lot of money, a lot of income, you see, as you said, this mix, this chemistry between the new players and the old players, it's not there anymore. I don't know what it takes. Years, probably, time.
Yeah, I think it takes time and also the right moment, the momentum, you know, the right coach with the right players, and then it can go so quick, of course. Everybody is waiting for this. And what is really positive is that every season they start, the fans are positive, everybody's pushing, they start very well. And then there is one game, like how it was this season when they lost the game against Austria Vienna at home. At this time, something broke immediately, you know, and that's why I said the hierarchy in the team, the kind of players they need to solve this kind of small issues that come over a long season. I think this is what they miss right now a little bit. But as I said, I hope that they can do it better over the next years. To see also as a fan a title for this great club. I remember very well also, as I mentioned before, Adi Hütter as a coach. I remember that he said one time in an interview in Austria many, many years ago, he said, if you survive or if you manage to do a great job in Rapid Vienna, you are able to go in any club in the world. And I think he knows from what he spoke about, because he experienced many nice clubs already. And so this means how difficult this club really is as a player, but also as a coach in the same time.
You spoke about Rapid and history. Let's talk about PAOK and emotion. You arrived in Greece, first club, first time outside of Austria. How was it was a cultural shock, or was it okay the first days in arriving at the airport and everything you experienced?
No, in general, I had really a good start. And as I said, the Greek people and football is different that we know from Austria, what also we can see here in Germany, for example. because they are so enthusiasm, the people, they are so fanatic. And the difference comparing to Austria, Rapid Vienna fans are also fanatic and they have emotions like crazy. But I don't know, the Greek way of life, they let their emotions more out. Also because the restrictions are lower, to be honest. So the people, they can use their emotions much more open-minded, you know. In Austria, in Germany, for many emotions, you get punished immediately. In Greece, the way of life is easier, you know. Yes. So you also let more emotions happening, you know, without kind of immediately punishment mm-hmm. and so on. And this you can feel from the fans, as you said, when new players arrive at the airport, there is a lot of media. Fans are coming to the airport to welcome you. But that's a really, really small gap in between, because you know very well in Greece, if you perform well, you are like a king.
Yeah.
But if it's not running well, especially as a foreign player, you're a tourist, you know. Then immediately you get messages, you get pressure and you say, come on, you are a tourist, leave the country, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you are playing well, you can have everything in Greece. And that's not possible, for example, in Austria. In Austria, okay, if you're not performing well, of course you're under critics. But it's not like in Greece that people are yelling on you or I don't know.
Also, walking in the city, it's different. Like if you walk Thessaloniki compared to Vienna.
Totally, yes. Vienna, for example, of course, there are districts or out of Vienna, around Vienna, the countryside that people recognize you a lot. But in the city center, it's so calm in Vienna because it's a huge city and many people in Austria are not so fanatic about football. Thessaloniki, wherever you go, the people know you as a PAOK player. Mm-hmm. That's really, really insane. And I had many friends, they visited me over the last years in Thessaloniki.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, what is going on here? Everybody recognize you. What is this? You also have just 20, 30,000 people in the stadium. The city is, I would not say small, but still all the people know you. And that shows how important PAOK is for Greece and also for the city, Thessaloniki.
And you became a reference point there. And I would like to ask you, how did you manage to earn the trust, even though you are not Greek?
Yeah, I think for PAOK is the most important that you are authentic, you know, and then they accept you as a guy in many ways. It doesn't matter like which color you were in your jersey before. Example, because I played for Rapid Vienna, there is a rivalry between PAOK and Rapid because of the game, what happened 2012, Rapid, the friendship with Panathinaikos, you know, so. But the people there, if you show now from this day on, you are signed for a PAOK player, you are authentic, you give your best to the team, they're going to love you. It doesn't matter where you played before mm-hmm. and where you're going to play after. You know, if you're authentic and always honest, they're going to appreciate this and they're going to love you. And I think I just tried to be myself from day one. And as the people know me, they know me that I am very open-minded. I like to communicate. I like to talk to people. So I was really enjoying the time and I made many friendships mm-hmm. over there.
How do you prepare before a big game, a derby game, in general, or probably in Greece?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important, I will not say secrets, but more or less maybe many people don't think about this. But of course, for bigger games, you don't need a kind of extra motivation because this comes from around, from media, from fans and so on. I think the most important is that you can also manage to have the same motivation for a smaller game, you know. So in the bigger games, there is not the typical ritual from my side mm-hmm. that I am trying to do comparing to smaller games.
Okay.
It's much more important in the smaller games that they gonna bring you in the end the title or the success to win those games than the derbies. Of course, the derbies are important, but the derbies are decided in small details,
yes.
individual actions because their level mm-hmm. is high, some mistakes from the opponents or whatever. But I think the smaller teams that you're going to play against them, the most important is that your motivation level is high and that you perform in the same way like in a derby. But that means that you're going to beat the smaller teams, you know.
Yes.
In the derby, in the end, you can be motivated 150%, but there can happen things that you not can control all the time. But as I said, the most important was for me to give in any game the best. And I think that's why maybe also the PAOK fans, they appreciate my last 5 years there because they could feel that I always tried my best and to win. And of course, not to win because I want to be the guy who want to show off. No, because we need to win as a team.
But for me, what is interesting, it's like you push also the whole team. I saw one of videos, I think on your social media, that you gave a speech before a game that went viral. Like, how do you find the keywords before a game, a small game, like with a weak opponent?
Yeah, in PAOK is the ritual that before we go out, the referee, we are in the dressing room after warm-up, the referee whistle, and then means now it's time for the teams to come together before you go out to the stadium. And all the time when the referee whistles, we did a circle in the middle of the dressing room. And the captain, who is the captain in the starting lineup for this game, has to make a speech. You know, mm-hmm. This was the ritual, and it's still the ritual, yes. Because you're sometimes going to see posts of them. And of course, you know the night before how we play, who is playing, and you know who is captain. So you have more or less 1-2 days time to think about what you're going to say and so on. But to be honest, I never went to bed and I was thinking, oh, what they're going to say tomorrow, yes. Whatever. It came in the match day, you know. You take some small things around you. There are happening small things. Maybe one teammate give you one information about something, and you're going to see things, you know, also mm-hmm. in the stadium, in the warm-up. And from this on, I created my words, because I could feel the atmosphere. I could feel how is our kind of mentality, how is our motivation, how is our fitness, how is our rhythm with the ball in the warm-up, yes. And then you create your speech. Mm-hmm. And I never wrote down something or I prepared something. It came really from the emotions and from the heart.
What has been the hardest time in your career?
I would say there have been two specific times that I can figure out. First of all, I would not say that any of these times was crazy, crazy hard, because I know from other players, the most difficult thing is if you're really fighting with injuries and you can't understand the injury very well. And if you don't know when you're coming back because yes. your injury is so complicated, I think that's the most difficult thing in a career. And I'm really lucky and happy that I never had this kind of feeling. I never had like an injury that I didn't know this takes 3 weeks, this takes 2 months, maybe I had a broken bone or something like that, but I never had such a difficult injury or injury that I never knew how long it's gonna take. So I'm happy that this doesn't yes. happen. But in sportive aspects, I would mention two things. One has been in Rapid Vienna. I think this was in around 2016, 17. I came back also after injury, and we didn't arrive to the playoffs, because in mm-hmm. Austria there are playoffs, and we needed to play in the play down. And for a team, like for a historical club like Rapid, I was the captain in this time. To be in the play out was really crazy. So for the Greek people, they can understand this is like you play for PAOK Olympiakos and you don't arrive to the playoffs. So you're going to know what is going on there. And in Rapid Vienna, it's not exactly the same, but more or less, yes, because of the media, the fans and so on. So we had huge critics. And of course, I was the captain. So I had a lot of responsibility for the situation, and I couldn't perform on my level 100%, and I couldn't give what I need to give the team, what means on the pitch and off the pitch, because we weren't in a good shape in sportive mm-hmm. aspects. And I was thinking a lot, I was trying to help the team a lot, but we couldn't perform on the pitch altogether, because mm-hmm. just because I'm not playing well, this doesn't mean that we cannot win games because we are a team, you know. But all of us, we couldn't perform on our level. There is many reasons, you know, because of tactics, because of the relationships between the players and so on. There is many yes. reasons. I think you can never figure out one reason that would be too easy, you know. Otherwise, all the teams would say, okay, that's the reason, we're going to change it and we come back on a winning streak. And in the other hand, was one time in PAOK. This was also the year that we went out in the European competition in Europa League, or was it, I think, Conference League qualification games against Levski Sofia. We went out, I think, in the second or third round already. And we had a huge squad all the time, because they prepared the squad to play in Europe as well. So we were many players, but we went out of Europe early. So we didn't have European games, and we had only league and cup games, which means in the end, instead of 60 games per season, we played 40, let's say. Yeah. But we had 30 players, and all of us wanted to play. Like, let's say from the 30 players, we had 22 players, foreign players, that they came from far. And of course, everyone is here to play, yes. and not because Thessaloniki is so yeah. beautiful. This is the second part, of course. And in this time, in the first 6 months, I didn't play a lot. And of course, I was suffering a lot, because you're out of home, you're here to play. We hadn't a very nice time. I was not playing a lot. And I would say in sportive aspects, I remember those two periods mostly.
And these are the moments that you have to work harder, because once the chance comes and you're not ready.
Yeah. I would not say you need to work hard. And the most important is to stay clear in your mind mm-hmm. that you know, okay, it's a period and you need to work like you do always, because I always try to work hard, even when I was playing. Even when I played and I was a captain, I didn't came to the training. I said, I play anyway next weekend, so I don't do anything in the training. This was never my kind of way of train and my kind of player I am. I think you should not work harder. You just need to be clear and straight in your mind and to keep going and to push yourself to stay motivated. And as you said, when the chance comes, it's always easy to say to take it. I think that's the most difficult thing when you're out for a longer time, and then it's the game that you can show off. It's a huge pressure. But you need to prepare your mind already months before that this moment is coming and that you want that this moment is coming, that you are not anxious after when this moment has arrived.
But how do you manage to get clarity when there is media, there is pressure from the family, the friends and all this kind of noise?
No, to be honest, I think if you have pressure from your family or of your friends because of your sportive performance or whatever, even if they are family, you need to cut them off. Because for me, the family and friends, they should take you as a human, how you are, and not because you are performing well on the pitch or not. Because the people who knows me, for example, I can speak only about my cases. They know that I'm trying everything to be good as possible in football. And football is complicated, even if it looks easy. And the people in my family or my friends that they are close to me, they're going to know this and they're going to feel this. And if they are starting like acting differently to you because you lost the game yesterday, you need to take them off because there's so much negative energy that this is not helping you a lot. On the other hand, the media and the fans around, this should not annoy you at all because you can't control anything and they cannot understand you as a human and also what it means to perform always, you know. So I think you should not read those comments or whatever, even if other people are sending you these things, you know. This should not annoy you and you should not think about this because otherwise you are coming in a circle that is going to really put you down. I think it can be like a hurricane, you know, that you're inside.
Nowadays they have direct access to you. Some years ago, they were in the newspapers and you had the option not to read it.
Yeah.
But right now, they can just write a message and, you know, one day maybe you avoid to read it, but one day you do.
But that's why you need to have your people around you that you can trust and that they also going to see your games and that you can talk with your... I would say all my career, I had 2-3 people around me. Doesn't matter. Maybe in PAOK, it was different guys than, for example, in Rapid or before I played in Admira. That you really talk with them about trainings and about games, that you open your heart totally and you can trust them and they also see your game 90 minutes and they're going to tell you also their opinion. And doesn't matter if they are friends or not, they should be honest in the end, you know, because for me, for example, all my career, my brother was always on my side and all the games he saw, we spoke about it. And doesn't matter if it was positive or negative, even when it was positive, we had discussions and so on. And it's really important also that you can let your heart open, you know, because about the things around and also what happened on the pitch. And I think you need to let it out, but you should not let it out because one fan is texting you and you are answering him or you are going to an interview and you tell them many things that doesn't help you at all, you know. Of course, we are humans and we need to let things out, but you need to know it to who and when. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because, as I said, we cannot always, all the critics we get and so on, always to just take it off so easily. You need to talk about this and then to remove it again.
Absolutely. Tell me now about winning the cup and the league title in PAOK. How did it feel?
Yeah, I think those two titles in the end until now has been the most successful things that we achieved as a team. When I have been in the team, 2020, we won the cup with PAOK. It was in the COVID time. So I couldn't experience very well how it could be without COVID. But I'm lucky that in 2024, in the summer, we experienced to win the title in the league. Yeah,
crazy.
Of course. I think those 4 or 5 days, unfortunately, they passed so fast, even if I were not sleeping a lot, because of course, in this last game, everybody knows how was our last game there in Haris against Haris in Heilau Stadium. Also the days before, it was a lot of pressure. And of course, everybody hoped that we're going to win this game there. Mm-hmm. But in the same time, everybody understood how difficult it's going to be. But we were so set for this game. And of course, all our experience that we had in our team with many, many players who won already titles and who played already in higher levels in their career, we could bring all our energy together for this game. And finally, we won the title. And when the referee whistled for the final whistle, it was just awesome because the next 2-3 days, what we experienced in the city, all the summer after we experienced was amazing because anywhere you go, the people came to you and they said, oh, Stefan, thank you so much. It has been our best summer for all our lives. So it's amazing. It's not common to win a title with PAOK because they just won 4 in total. So it's really, really a special summer for us. And all the people were so thankful. And of course, we never forget that this was also in the cup, with the cup title, but it was a little bit smaller because of COVID.
Yeah, of course. And how did it give you like winning internally? Like how was it for you personally?
Yeah, it was like a reward, you know. You got something back for all the years that you suffered also. Because, of course, all the people from outside, they see just the positive aspects as football players, but there are many negative as well.
Would you agree that the negative things are more than the positive?
In my case, no. But I understand that for other players, maybe this happened over their career. Mm-hmm. But in my case, the positive things that I experienced in football are much, much higher comparing mm-hmm. to negative. Of course, you have negative ones, but as I said, I could always manage and handle those situations. But to be honest, many people see that you are going to lose a cup final. Yeah, in the first moment, it's negative. The people are sad that you lost it. But in the other hand, you arrived to the cup final. So yeah. There were just two teams out of 40 teams who started in this competition.
It's about the perspective.
If you're going to say that you are a loser because you lost the cup game, your mindset, this is totally wrong. Of mm-hmm. course, you want to win it. And maybe the next 2-3 days when you lost, for example, a game like this, of course, you are sad. But in the end, you can be also proud and you said, okay, I arrived to a final and I played in front of 40,000 people, a cup final, that's something amazing, you know? And many other people say, boy, that's negative because we lost the game.
One of the toughest things, I think, being a professional football player is like moving. You stayed for so many years in Thessaloniki and then you have to move. When you made friends, families there, you feel like home, and then you have to go to somewhere else. How is that for you? Or how did you experience that particular time?
That's again a positive aspect for me, because in all my career I didn't move a lot, because all my youth academy time I was in Salzburg. After I stayed in Admira and Rapid, which means I lived 10 years in Vienna. So even in Vienna I had already a higher community around me with friends and so on, because I have been 10 years there. And this was a difficult time from 2019-20 when COVID arrived to decide to leave Rapid, because I had an amazing time. I was the captain in this time, so it was really hard in this moment to leave Rapid and Vienna to PAOK. But the good thing is that I adapted very fast and that we were immediately successful with PAOK. So it made it much more easier after to adapt there and to be happy there, and that I can leave Vienna behind me. And after PAOK now, over those 5 years, to be honest, this summer was really difficult. Also because now with the family aspect, in the other hand, it's more difficult now to change the kindergarten, to change the environment, to change the community around you. So this is different than many, many years ago. And now, mm-hmm. because I'm getting older, to be honest, I don't want to move anymore many, many times, which also my age don't allow anymore. But as I said, I'm lucky and happy that I didn't play it for 20 clubs in my mm-hmm. career. Maybe for other people that's nice, but my target was never to have 20 different clubs. Yes. So I'm happy that I had just a few ones. But in all the clubs I played, I had a nice time.
Did you have the proper goodbye?
How you mean?
Like to say goodbye to the fans?
In Thessaloniki? Yes. Yeah, I would say in the end I had it, of course, because in the summer it was not clear if I'm going to leave or if I'm going to stay. And of course, there was also the huge celebration for Andre Verinha, who retired also this summer. And I wasn't clear, and the club wasn't clear in the end of the season in May what is going to happen. But when the day came that we decided to don't continue anymore there, we had a nice goodbye. And of mm-hmm. course, it's not a goodbye forever, because I have friends. I still talking to many friends of mine in Thessaloniki. I know what is going on there. And so for me, it's not a goodbye, because also the city is not so far by flight from Vienna or Munich. You arrive mm-hmm. fast in Thessaloniki. So I'm really, really happy, and I just have good vibes when I'm coming back to the city to go to Dumba to see my friends and so on. And that's the same about Vienna. I have been, I think, 2 or 3 months ago in Vienna to see a game as well. It still feels like also my home. So these two places, of course, they have a huge spot in my heart.
You spoke before, like in the relationship you have with your brother. You're one, I think, my first guest who has, his agent is his brother. How do you manage this relationship? You said he's telling you the positive aspect and the negative one, but do you really separate the business and the family thing?
Yeah, totally. I think all the time is an example. When we have a phone call, for example, the first things we talk is about the family and how things are going. And then we start to speak about sportive aspects. And I think it's really a relationship that we are looking as eye to eye, because mm-hmm. he is also a sports guy. So I have a huge respect of his career as well, because he played as a professional volleyball player. He has also played for the Austrian national team indoor volleyball. And now he's many years already a very successful coach in volleyball. And I'm following, of course, his games also. And so it's not only we speak about Stefan sport and mm-hmm. you are the most important family member because you are a professional football player. No, It's really eye to eye, and I'm following his games a lot. So also now, I think just 6 weeks ago, I went from here, from Kiel, 3.5 hours to Stralsund to watch his game, because now he's a coach in Germany, in the German league. So I like to see him, to talk about his games, about his players and so on. And then, of course, we speak about football as well. And how it came, we had always a really, really nice relationship.
He's older.
He's 7 years older than me. And he worked before also in Red Bull, but in athlete management. So he was not in Red Bull football. He was working for the company as an athlete manager. So he knows also many, many people around the world because of Red Bull. And then I think when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, we decided that we're going to do everything together, because we know each other most. Nobody knows us better in between us, because we shared everything. Of course, we are four boys at home, and my father has been working a lot, because with four boys at this time was not easy. It's not only now it's difficult. It has been also 30 years ago difficult for a family with four boys. And so my brothers, you know, they growed me more or less. So I have really close relationship with them, because I'm the youngest and they raised me more or less. And so it's nice that we have this connection. And now we can also be out of our family stuff in business together. Mm-hmm. This is really nice.
Because
for
we
us.
Already have the trust. And in this profession, sure, it's really hard to find someone who is
We can trust each other 1,000,000% about any kind of thing, about life, about football, about whatever, you know. I think also when we are talking about topics, doesn't matter about football or other aspects, we are talking the same voice. We have the same things. Yeah, we are wearing the same things. We have the same opinion about many things, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that helps, of course.
Yes.
So you joined Holstein Kiel, and pretty quickly you had a night that felt like a statement. DFB Pokal against the HSV, going through on penalties and pushing Kiel into the quarterfinal. Take me into that moment. You are taking the ball to shoot the penalty. What is in your mind?
Yes, of course. That's also a really, really nice highlight. That's why I came to Germany, to have the possibility to experience the Pokal, the cup, we say in Austria. Because the cup in Germany is really another level, comparing to Greece, comparing to Austria, wherever. We played in the first round in the cup against the fourth division team on the Sunday afternoon, like 1,000 kilometers from Kiel. And we had like 600 fans of us in the first round of Pokal against the fourth division team. And there were also 10,000 fans of them from a fourth division team. Then you go to the next round, you play against Wolfsburg Bundesliga team away. Amazing stadium, amazing environment. Then you go again, you go through them, and then you choose, you draw HSV, and which is a huge club, you know. In all the North, they have a lot of supporters. You play again in front of 50,000 people. So what means Germany Cup, also atmosphere in the stadiums, facilities in stadiums, you can't compare, I think, to another countries. Maybe you have England, maybe you have some stadiums in France and Italy, but that's all. I think in Germany, even you go to the third division, you find in the average 15,000-20,000 in the third division. And second division, the lowest games you have is in front of 20,000 people. We play in front of 60,000 in Schalke. So that's really awesome. And it's nice to experience that. That's why I came here. And of course, with Hamburg, we had a huge highlight, because it's a derby. And now we are in the quarterfinal for the Pokal. There's just 8 teams left from also, I think, more or less, I'm not sure yet, but let's say from 40 teams they started, or 50 teams, 8 teams left, only 2 second division teams. We are one of them. We choose now Stuttgart for the next round. That's really nice, and that's a highlight. And about the penalty, I came in this game in around 60 minutes, I think. The game went 0-0 after 90 minutes, so we went in extra time. So it was nice to play longer in this stadium, because it's so nice to play in front of 50,000. Then it came to the penalty shootout, and yeah, penalty shootout is mindset thing, is mentality also, but of course it is luck also, because if a goalkeeper has an amazing day or a little bit unlucky, you can lose also the penalty. And it was not so an easy moment, because until now, for me, but also for the club, the time that I'm here, we are not performing so well. Also, I was expecting more from my side, the club expecting more, to be honest. There's not a real nice rhythm right now. And so the pressure is high, you know, also in this kind of game, even if it's HSV. But everyone is seeing your penalty, of course. You can feel, oh, if imagine I missed this penalty or whatever, how the critics are already, you know.
Did you feel the weight
so you feel
on your back?
You know, you have this in your mindset maybe like a few days before the game, but when I'm on the pitch, I don't think at all about this, because I enjoy the game.
Yes.
And I enjoy this moment to go to the penalty, because what is it's one of the best things. It's almost midnight because the game was at midnight, like started 9 o'clock, but with extra time, it was almost midnight. And you go to take a penalty in front of 50,000 people. So that's a nice thing, you know. Maybe, yeah, of course it's pressure, but I enjoy this moment. Yeah. And that's I try to be confident in the penalty and to say, enjoy this. Imagine how many guys, players, whatever, want to be at this moment now where you are. Maybe when you are there, maybe you are nervous, of course, it's the truth. But if you're sitting home, everybody want to wish now, oh, I want to be this guy now to score a penalty who has football inside of him.
It's a great moment because 10 years later, you're going to think about this penalty.
Yeah, for
Nobody's
sure.
going to forget.
For sure, for sure.
Because that's football. I want to go somewhere else because I saw how active you are outside of sports. And this is money. The PFA, the English Union, published a research showing that 52% of retired players reported financial difficulties in the first 5 years once they retired. So when did you first realize my salary isn't security unless I invest?
Up to 78% of professional athletes face financial difficulties within 3 years after ending their careers. The Finance Views Group helps players secure their future in time. Look ahead, think long term, and find out more about a free consultation with Finance Views Group A. You can find the link in the description below.
When you are 18, 19 years old, you don't know where your journey will go and how much money your journey brings you in the end as a football player. But I think in this at this kind of moment you are in the start of a career, money should never decide now about your next steps or about your life after, you know. I think you should enjoy the game. You should really enjoy to go to the training, to do these steps. And the money in the end comes anyway, you know. And even if it's not coming, of course, you need to be always thinking around you. You need to be open-minded also for other things because, of course, we can understand early already that the day will come that you are 35, I would say, is the average that players retire. This day will come anyway. And I think the first year you should do everything to go as far as you can in your football career, but the moment will come, and this was my mindset when I have been 28 years old, then you understand more or less where will goes your journey, you know. You can see how were your last 8 years as a professional football player, so what you're gonna reach more in the next 4, 5, 6 years. It's more easier to understand it than when you have been 18, 19 years old. And so when I was 28, I said, okay, the day will come when I'm 35. And it's not about financial anxious or something. It's like when you're 35 and you stop to play, even if you would have enough money, what is the target in your life after, you know? You cannot stay 40 years just at home and to see how is the weather and to see the news in the TV.
How
you know?
Do you find the passion?
I think you get sad, you get annoyed because we are sports guys and we want to do something. We want to have targets. We want to reach something. And so this was my mindset, or is my mindset, that maybe, yes, when I retire, I am old as a football player, but I'm still young as a person, you know, and I'm healthy. So I can do everything what I want to do in my life. The thing is just, if you really want to do it, you can do it. The question is what you want to do. And this you need to figure out. So my recommendation is just to each player, you need to think about what is next to football, your biggest passion. If it's still football, stay in football business and try to start with studies, with a license as a coach or whatever you are interested. If you say, okay, football is nice, but I don't know, because of family reasons, because of pressure, whatever, I don't want to do this anymore again, 30 years more. Think what is your second biggest passion, because you can only do something good if you really love this kind of thing that you want to do.
What are the types that you invest it, your...
Now, first of all, you know, about money, I would say I try to save money for sure and invest in immobiliaris, because I think development and in properties, in apartments are always consistent, and the people always need to live. Yes. You can always have things to rent and so on. And the second thing was I wanted to invest in my intelligence. I wanted to invest in something that I have after my career that I can start immediately with another nice opportunity in a job way. So I studied in a university in Eisenstadt, which is close to Vienna, and I studied sport management. And so this is what I invested a lot of time, but also money to develop myself for my career after as well. I think these are more or less the two things, about money and also about intelligence, what I did about investment.
From what you have seen over the years in the dressing room, what patterns do you see in the most guys that they are getting into troubles?
In troubles in life or in football
life,
things?
In life, yeah. Because of financial literacy.
Financial interest. Yeah, you know, okay, as I said, the most important is to have the right people next to you and around you. That's why I mentioned before that my brother was so important to me because he raised me. And of course, they are hanging out with other people as well, mm-hmm. because my brother, for example, in volleyball sports, of course, the money they get is totally different comparing to football players. So he always asked me in younger ages, do you really need these things to be a better person, to feel more happy mm-hmm. or whatever, you know? So I always was thinking, oh, this does really improve my life or not, you know? Of course, my target was always to have a nice life. And I said, okay, I want to have a nice average, but if I'm going to stop to play football, I still want to have this average. So I never tried to live over my limit. And I mm-hmm. think that's the problem of football players, that they start to live over their limits, you know, because maybe if one football player spends 10,000 euros per month, he needs to think if he could still afford this when he is 40 years old, you know, and then to take steps down is really, really difficult. So I think, of course, you're going to take things that you really like. If someone likes to drive a nice car, to wear a nice watch, do it, because, of course, this is the reward that you also take to be successful, to earn money. And if you mm-hmm. really like something, do it, you know, but just think that you don't overpace, because there is the career also after, and you still should wear your watch after mm-hmm. and not to gonna sell it because you need the money, you know? So I think this balance is very important. But what I can understand now for young players, which is important, is that the players stay far from casino stuff and so on.
Yes.
Because this can really destroy not your career. Of course, your career as a football player, but this can destroy your life, you know, in general.
Yes. It's an addiction.
That's totally true, yeah.
You said you completed a master's degree that was in sports management, but you're also running a podcast, Play to Grow, with a great friend of yours, Richard Windbichler. What are you building towards once you retire? Like, what is your goal?
You know, like Play to Grow, our podcast is more or less now a year old. We did already 31 episodes, and it was like a start that, you know, we said, okay, Richie is a really close friend of mine. We played together at Miravaca. He has a career totally different than mine. Mm-hmm. And also his mindset and his target was totally different. I think the day in his career came also with 24, 25 that he understood, oh, it will be difficult for me to be a national team player. It will be difficult for me to play in Italy, Germany, wherever. So what I gonna take from my career? What I wanna do? And he said, okay, I love to travel. So now I start to use my career to go to different places, mm-hmm. to different continents. So he decided to go out of the comfort zone, Austria, Europe, and so on. And he moved to South Korea, to China, to Australia, to America.
Because he had friends there from his football career.
Yeah, no, he tried to connect with agents and to bring him in these markets and there. And mm-hmm. then, you know, after one club, this comes like, because he was also playing well in those clubs. And then he moved on, you know. And so he decided, okay, I'm going to travel and play pro football as a professional guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take my money, but still I can experience the life there, you know, as a traveler, more or less.
Yes.
And so we said, we always stayed in touch. We sent, especially when I have been in Greece and he was, I think, at this time in China, we sent us many time voice messages because also of the time difference. Also in Australia. And so we said one day, come on, why we don't speak all 2 weeks, like 2 hours, and we're going to share everything that we experience right now and make it public, because we have nothing to hide. We mm-hmm. want to be authentic. And of course I knew, okay, which player is doing his own podcast, and there will be again critics, what won this guy right now. But to be honest, now in my age, I don't care about that because I want just to tell the people, not the people, I want to tell to Richie, and he want to tell me what we experience. And it's like a communication which helps us to grow. That's mm-hmm. why I also Play to Grow. We play and we grow as persons, and we're going to speak about topics and we give our opinion, you know. And if someone is interested in that, he's going to listen it. If someone is not interested, he's not listening to us, but that's not the problem, because our target is not to become the most famous podcast and to make the most money only with podcast. It's like really a passion thing. Mm-hmm. And we love to talk about football. And that's why we said, okay, we make it public, because maybe other people are interested also. And as you said, your target is also to help football players with your podcast. And that's also our target. We want to help and to give a lot of advices to players, not advices to tell you do this or that, mm-hmm. just what we experience and how we could do or how we should do, you know?
Yes. It's a great thing because you do it with a great friend of yours. Yeah. You're growing together. So it's
and
fun.
Also it's nice because we have many different opinions. So it's mm-hmm. not like my brother. If I did a podcast with my brother, it will be one way. But we discuss about things that maybe many people think like me, and maybe many people mm-hmm. will think like him. But in the end, it's nice because, of course, we can have different opinions, but in the end, we play the same game.
So you're not afraid of retirement, actually?
No, no, no. I think I love to play football, and I would love to be again 20 years old to play football
really?
Again, just as a footballer.
You didn't have enough.
No, because I really love football. It's really my passion, and it's nice to train. It's nice to be in a dressing room. But I know that I'm going to have also different targets, and the day will come that you need to accept that your body is not able anymore to play on this level.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that? With
yes,
the thought?
Yes, I think it will change a lot. Maybe in the first years you will suffer a little bit because you're going to miss the dressing room, mm-hmm. you're going to miss the adrenaline to be ready for the weekend, to have this football schedule. But yeah, of course, one day is enough. But as I said, I would wish to play longer again, but only if I would be younger.
Now that you know that the last chapters, let's say, let's put like this, do you enjoy it more?
Good question. In the other hand, you know, it's also hard to see that that your physical aspect is going down a little bit. So I would say you enjoy the most when you have been in your prime. But I think in football, also our huge idols now, I say ours because they are still playing for many players like Ronaldo, Luka Modric and so on. They also show that you can play longer as the average of football players if you really want to do it and you work for it.
Yes.
Because they work hard and that's why they can still play at this level mm-hmm. With 40 years old. And of course, I never played in this level they are. So I think if I'm doing everything and to work hard, I can play my level also for longer years, you know?
Because you know how hard it is.
Yes, of course.
So best case scenario, you stop tomorrow. What do you do? Best case scenario.
Best case scenario. Okay, now is winter. If I would stop now, I go home Christmas with the family. I would go only the sunny day skiing. So I don't mm-hmm. need to take the days I get to go to skiing. And then I think I would start as fast as possible to do my license as a coach,
mm-hmm.
To watch a lot of football. I think to analyze games, for example, in a TV show or whatever. I think this would be my first steps now to stay nice. In the game and to do my license as a coach. And then if I'm done more or less with the license that I can start to be a coach already, I'm going to see like how is the situation, where mm-hmm. I can help, what I can do. That's why I did my university as well, to have both options, to be on the pitch about football, but also to have the chance to be off the pitch, but still in yes. football business.
So before we jump into the fire round, I want to end the main conversation with something more personal. When you look at your career, what are you the most proud of when people don't see?
Yeah, as I said before, that when I was in a younger ages, to have the courage to leave the perfect Red Bull world and to go to a smaller team far from Salzburg alone with my girlfriend in this time, and to go in an environment which was not easy at all, but I knew that it's going to help me as a sportive guy, and that I became a football player without any kind of push or help or from someone, that I really created my career as a player by my own, and I took that I took like step by step, you know, mm-hmm. that nobody said, oh, Stefan is 17 years old, look at him, he's such an amazing player.
Yes.
I was always younger, smaller, then maybe I was a little bit playing with the olders, and I needed really to fought for my place and to show that I'm able to become a professional player. No one gave me anything and to say, yeah, here is your contract and yes. It's okay. I needed to work hard for it. That's why I need to take steps out of Red Bull world and to go to smaller teams. And the smaller teams, it doesn't mean just because you come from Red Bull or somewhere that you will be successful there. Yes. It's hard. And they expect a lot of people if you come from these clubs. So it's not easy at all. And for this, I'm proud that I did my own career without of any kind of help or something. And to look back about also that in all the teams until now I have played, that they were able to wear the captain's flag. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, one thing. It doesn't matter if it was Rapid Vienna, it was Admira Wacker, it was PAOK, it is already now in Kiel. This shows me that I am doing something good as a guy also off the pitch, not only on the pitch, also off the pitch, because otherwise you cannot wear the captain's flag.
Do you think you are born as a leader or you develop the skill to become a leader?
Born, I think you need to develop it for sure, but when you're around 20 years old, it shows more or less if you have the possibility to be a leader, and then still it needs to develop.
Yes.
But as I said, I learned a lot and I raised a lot. My brothers raised me a lot. So they gave me a lot, this kind of leadership, I would say, that I were in my side already when I was younger, because I saw how they act and what they did, and then I looked up to them and I mm-hmm. tried to follow them, you know.
If you could change something in your career, what would it be?
I think there could be two things, not only about sportive aspects.
Yes.
I should speak better Greek after 5 years PAOK. I should learn earlier Greek and better Greek.
You still have time. Then, you know.
I still have time. Yes, it's never enough. And the same when I was young, I started to study Italian, and I'm okay in Italian. But in this time, when I have been, let's say, 20 to 20 years old, 8 years old without kids, mm-hmm. without my university, I had plenty of time that I could learn better Italian as I am talking right now. So that's maybe the only two things what I would change, let's say, outside of the pitch. And as a player, I always said when I was younger, I want to look in the mirror after my career and I want to say I tried everything and I did my best, and where I arrive, and then that's it, you know. And yeah. I think when I stop my career, I watch in the mirror, I'm proud for this, that I tried everything and I did my best. So mm-hmm. I would not change any decision or any way of life as a football player on and off the pitch, that I maybe have the possibility to be better. I think that I used all my skills, all my facilities to go on the highest level I could. Of course, some things can be sometimes in your advantage that you cannot control, and sometimes in your disadvantage, but yes. I always did my best from my side, and that's why as a player I would say I would not change anything. The only thing that I could take another gift from God is if I would have more speed as a player.
Okay.
This would help me maybe on the pitch.
Barcelona,
but
not
I was not able to put my speed higher up from training aspects.
Ready for the fire round?
Yeah, always.
If you have the opportunity to finish your career in Austria, and base that decision on the coach rather than the club, who would you choose? But not the club, the coach.
I need to choose the coach.
Coach, not base the club.
Ah, okay. Oh, interesting question. People know that I have a huge respect as a coach from Didi Kübauer. Mm-hmm. Would be nice to finish the career of him. Otherwise, would be also nice to be again one time with Adi Hütter, for example.
Yes.
So I would say mention those two coaches.
One teammate you would choose for a last minute penalty.
One teammate. I would also mention two guys because they were leaders mm-hmm. as well. One was in Rapid Vienna, Steffen Hoffmann. Mm-hmm. And the other hand was in PAOK, André Virinha.
A lesson you learned too late.
I think it's never too late to learn something. Mm-hmm. Even if you did something wrong before, it helps you after to do it better. So there is nothing that I could say.
A transfer that was supposed to happen but never did.
To England when I played for Rapid Vienna. Mm-hmm. It was really close that I moved to Championship, to a nice team which is already now in Premier League.
And we
it was
team
really
or?
Close. No, better not.
Off the record, maybe. So, say you were given the role of a sporting director or a coach. You choose. You can recruit players you've played with or against. Pick me the first 11.
So I think I'm going to choose players that I played with. But if I forget someone, please don't be angry because it's really, really difficult. I think as a goalkeeper all over the years, because we won the title, I would choose Kutaski. Defenders, right back, Andre. Central defender, Crespo. Left central defender, I would make a mix of Michailidis and Koulirakis.
Mm-hmm.
Left defender, I need to say also Baba. Midfielder next to me, I would choose Dejan Ljubicic. Number 10, Steffen Hoffmann.
Mm-hmm.
Left winger, I would mix Ješek and Tyson. Right winger, what do we have right winger? Yeah, Andrea, of course. And then striker, Joel Linton.
Your big plan for 2026?
I will choose on the pitch, I would say, to experience more nice games in Germany in front of many, many thousand of fans, plus to go very far in the cup. I will not say where, but yes. I think there is a huge possibility to do something great. And off the pitch is... to be a good father and to raise my kids, and also to enjoy the life also out of the beach, to have good moments and all kind of aspects.
Thank you. That would be all from my side. I really enjoyed it, and thank you for sharing all this, the mindset and the stories behind the person.
thanks for the invitation. I enjoyed it also a lot. And yeah, I hope that the people enjoy our talk.
Where can they find the podcast?
Our podcast, you can find it with Play to Grow, written as a number two in between of Play and Grow. And you can find it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And of course, we are online all the time and forcing also Instagram. So Play to Grow Instagram. There you get mostly all the informations and the most important facts. And yeah, that's
Thank
all.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you want more conversation like this, please subscribe to our channel and I will keep you posted for the next guest. Thank you for watching.